Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. So today our subject is, are you ready for this? I made up the word, but I think you'll understand the word when I say it. It's called dehectifying. Dehectifying. So let me show you my title slide. This is what it looks like. Everybody in a hustle and bustle, running, strife. Everybody going each way, life seems to be out of control, so we want to learn how to dehectify. That's what we want to learn. So, what is this thing called dehectifying? Dehectifying, in fact, the reason for it is to achieve life purposes, because all this junk keeps us from going down the pathway that we should go. And so, here's what we're talking about. Removing the hectic aspects of life in order to achieve our life purpose and worthwhile goals. I want you to catch that once more time. The removing of the hectic aspects of life in order to achieve life purpose and worthwhile goals. Dehectifying. So let's look at a few actual dictionary, Oxford English Dictionary definitions. Here we go. Hectic means to be in a disturbing condition. A state of feverish activity. A heckler is one who mocks or undermines, ridicules with the intent to destroy. And back when I was a street preacher, which I did for probably a decade when I first got started in the ministry, in fact, before I even went to college, I learned how to face hecklers. Because there's always somebody in the crowd who wants to put you out of commission. So a heckler is somebody who mocks you, undermines, ridicules with the intent to destroy. Hector, by definition, is a swaggering fellow, a braggart, a blusterer, a bully. The dictionary calls him a Hector. And then there's Hector as a transitive verb, which means to intimidate by threat, to domineer, to domineer over somebody or some situation, to force by threat or insolent, Hector. And so the graphic that goes with it, it tells you the whole story, doesn't it? Hector is to intimidate by threat. And then heck, we say, oh, heck. It's a colloquial expression that actually represents hell. So, I don't know why this happens, but some people substitute bad swear words for lesser swear words. You know what I'm saying? So instead of saying, oh, hell, we all say, oh, heck, you know, this kind of thing. Well, life is full of the hectic. I mean, absolutely full. We're running, we're busy, we're preoccupied, we have such messes, we've got no time to clean them up. Oh, don't we get weary? Oh my goodness, try to do so many things at one time. And we have our little notes to keep track of everything we have to do in a given day, and then add that to the whole hectic that happens in the family because there's so much going on at one time, and this disturbing condition, this state of feverish activity takes its toll eventually, and anger even breaks out, and mobs don't know what to do, and this is probably the best picture I know of to to show the hustle and the bustle of life. In fact, let me show you two in full screen so you can see how bad it really gets. So what are we going to do about this hectifying, disturbing conditions, a state of feverish activity in which we live? And so the answer to that is we are going to learn how to dehectify. That's our subject today. In fact, here it is on the screen, how to dehectify. So I hope you're ready, because God wants you poised, in control, peaceful, calm, cool, collected. Ah. Not out of control, not in a feverish life in the fast lane. You never know what's going to happen. So how to dehectify? I want to give you 12 tips today on how to dehectify. The first one is to recognize the need for efficiency in your life. And so comes the scripture, and this is what it says, that we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. And I wish I had time to go into the details of that. All the saints of yesteryear have gone on, and they're watching nothing happening in heaven until we get there. And we got this cloud of witnesses. So here's what we should do. And by the way, this cloud of witnesses is not just to heaven, but all around us. Here it is. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This is the factor. Everybody knows how to run, but how to run with patience the race that is set before us. Now watch this. Looking unto Jesus, eyes set upward unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So if we're going to run, we got to run well. We got to run fairly. We got to see the need for efficiency, because you can spend a lot of time and creep forward only inches. But God wants us to be efficient. And so comes now the second tip on dehectifying, understanding the need for streamlining your life. And so here it is. It is to lay aside everything that's unnecessary. Too much stuff. Too many intrusions. Too much going on. Busy, 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 busy. In fact, it was one of my favorite authors. I believe it was Wordsworth. I get Tennyson and Wordsworth mixed up a lot of times. I like them both, along with Shakespeare and a few others. Who says this? The world is too much with us. Ooh. Getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. The world is too much with us. So we've got to do something about it. And now comes the scriptures and tells us what to do. Lay aside every weight. I probably should put a picture in here of a runner. You don't find runners running with boots on and heavy gear. They are stripped down, light shoes, light everything. Because to get down the track most efficiently and most effectively, they lay aside their weights. And so they streamline, lay aside every weight. The third one is not just to lay aside weights, but to lay aside every sin. Now watch this. This scripture says, lay aside every weight and every sin. Look at this. Which doth so easily beset. It means it gets us off the track. Huh? And then we are able to run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay, so I want you to catch this now. You need to know the reason for dehectifying. It's for life efficiency, it's to achieve your life goals. And we do that, secondly, by laying aside everything that's unnecessary, every weight. I learned this the hard way. You buy something and forget to calculate how much the maintenance is going to cost. You know, lay aside weights. The third thing is to lay aside every sin that does so easy to beset us. Now, here's the fourth tip about dehectifying. It is to joyfully stay focused and undistracted, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, to watch now, to follow his example, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He was able to handle the cross and every obstacle in his life with joy. Why? Because lay aside the weights, lay aside the sins that so easily beset us. And now keep focused. Don't look to the left or to the right. Let your eyes look right on and joyfully stay focused on the achievement of your life goals. Stay focused. Now, the next dehectifying principle of Scripture, and I'm going to give you 12, but number 5 is really a significant one. And that means that there are certain behaviors that we just flat need to kill. Kill. We don't kill people, but we sure have behaviors that need to die. So watch the Scripture. Kill. This word first is the word mortify. That means to kill. Kill, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And it gives a list: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So I'm going to slow down so that you make sure you get, so you know exactly what you should kill. Because watch this. The Scripture says if you're risen with Christ, we seek the things that are above, not the thing where Christ is at the right hand. And watch this now. We set our affection on things that are above and not on things of the earth. So in order to do that, this Scripture tells us that there are certain behaviors that need to kill. The Scripture actually goes on to say that our life is hid with Christ in God, and when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we will appear with him in glory. So how do we get there? How do we get there? Here it is. Mortify. Mortify. That word means kill certain behaviors. Let me give you a translation of this before we go on to the detail. It means killing off everything connected with the old way of death. And then listen, contemporary English: sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. Whoa. Don't miss this. People who just do whatever they feel like doing whenever they feel like doing it can never get down the track. Because these feelings were never designed to be a guidance system. And most people, watch this now. Because it is the truth that when feelings take over, intelligence is gone. Feelings now rule. And you're going to see that in some of these things, these are feelings that once they get control, they change our ability to achieve our life goals. So that's why the Scripture says what it says. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Now it's given a list. The first one is fornication. It comes from the Greek word porneo, from which we get pornography. Sensual focus. Kill that thing. Don't let that rule your life. You won't be able to act or think straight and feel right. Oof. Kill it. Kill it. If you don't kill it, you become like the Scripture that describes a generation of men whose eyes are full of adultery. Everywhere we look, we think sexual, sensual, pornographic ideas. Kill fornication. Uncleanness. This is referring, I suspect, to moral, every kind of moral uncleanness. Inordinate affections that are out of the ordinary. Inordinate means extreme. And so people can get inordinate affection about color, you name it. And so we attach ourselves to things and they grab us as we grab them. Unnatural affections, inordinate. And then evil concupiscence. Now, this is not a very common word today, concupiscence. But, you know, we got Cupid in here, so that's kind of a clue, isn't it? What is evil concupiscence? This word concupiscence actually refers to a sensual sex drive that's bent towards evil. Evil concupiscence, okay? And so, and then the last one on the list that needs to be killed is covetousness. If covetousness, if we want something that we haven't got, and so we reach and we grab and we grasp and we try to get stuff, and we build this thing up so great in our minds and our demand for it so exceeding that it becomes an idolatry. We set that thing up as an idol. It starts to control us. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, that scripture goes on to say that for these things that we've just seen, these things that need to be killed, these five things, right? That's why judgment has to come. It brings judgment. Now, what's an interesting thing is that scripture is concluded with this sentence. You also walked in these things, these five things. You walked in them once upon a time when you used to live in them, but not anymore. They are gone. So remember what number five is. It is to kill evil behaviors. And then the scripture goes on and gives us some more instruction on other things that should be put off and put out of our life, defectify, right? Things that interfere and damage, and they are basically attitudes. So let's take a look at them. Further put off interfering and damaging attitudes. So now, here's the scripture. Now, we also put off all these things. Now, these are all dispositions and attitudes and behaviors that need to be put off, just like equal to kill. Just put them out of existence from our lives. Get rid of them. So let's take a look at this in detail. Putting off interfering and damaging attitudes. That's part of dehectifying. Because if we allow interfering and damaging attitudes, we cannot achieve our life goals. They create this hectic condition. So let's take a look at these. Here they go. Here's the list. Here's how it goes. Number one, anger. Why do you want to put off anger? Because it interferes with your thinking. It's a damaging disposition. If you get angry at somebody for something they said or did, every time you look at them or think about them, your thinking is now being controlled by the anger. And that's a hectifying disposition. It's a hectifying attitude because it warps and twists one's ability to think straight. And it usually ends up manifesting itself in some wrong behavior. But it's even worse than that. It's like a poison to your own system. So if you don't get along with your mother-in-law and you have anger against your mother-in-law when you're driving down the road, what do you think about your mother-in-law? You go to bed at night, what do you think about your mother-in-law? Why? Because anger usurps and interferes with. It's a damaging condition. And if we're going to dehectify, we got to get rid of anger. The second thing is wrath. And what is wrath? Wrath is retaliation. Doing back to others what they do to us. Being Christian,
is a real big deal. There are three kinds of people. Yeah, maybe four. Let me see what comes out here. Number one, there are people who return evil for evil. You do them bad, they do you bad back. There are people who return good for good. There are even, number three, there are people who return evil for good. You might do them good, but they do you evil. And then there's the fourth one. This is the Christian one. This is the person that returns good for evil. You do them bad, they do you good back. And that's Christian.
That's why we got a teaching coming up called The Logic of Love. And let me tell you why this is important. Little advertisement here. When Jesus says, love your enemies, most people just blank out. When he says, bless those that curse you, that does not compute. Because they don't understand love. They don't understand praying for those who are nasty towards you. They don't understand if your enemy is hungry, you give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, you give him something to drink. They don't understand that. It doesn't compute. It doesn't meet the logic of humanity. But it certainly does with the logic of God. For he's kind even unto the ungrateful. So, watch this now. If you want to dehectify your life, you need to kill those things we've already talked about. But you need to put off anger. And you need to put off retaliation, wrath, judgment, doing back to others what they did to you. How can you do that? How can that be possibly a human proper response? Good question. Let me tell you the answer. Here's what God says. Beloved, don't you love how he talks to you? Endearing terms. You, beloved. Avenge not yourselves. Don't do back to get even. For vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. 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 So you let it go. You return good for evil. And by doing that, that obedience employs God now to do whatever would be wise and proper with that adversary. But we're getting too far off the track. Let's go back. We're to put off anger, put off wrath. Same thing, malice, right? Not just anger and wrath, but hatred. Put it off. Get rid of it. Because if you don't, it will rule your life. It will hectify you spiritually, mentally, emotionally, socially, and it can even affect you physically. Blasphemy. Put it off. What is that? That is mocking, deriding, or speaking evil of that which is holy. These days, when you talk about holiness, people think, I don't know what you're talking about almost. It's a word that's lost a lot of its significance because we have learned, or we have rather turned so far from it. We have turned so far away. And the last one on the list is to put off filthy communications out of our mouths. The power of death and life is in the tongue, Scripture says. And if we speak evil, if we speak dirty, if we speak filthy, if we speak negativity, oh, how it comes back. So what we've done here is we're already covered A, B, C, D, and E here about things that put off, but the scripture doesn't end there. So let's go back to the scripture. So now ye also put off these things, right? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Uh-oh. No lying to one another. Seeing that you're not going to be like you used to be. You put off the old man with what the old person used to be like, but now we don't lie. We don't lie to anyone. So check this one more time with me on the scripture. Put lying on the letter F, lying. Lie not to one another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. All right, now here's the next point. Number 7. You must replace the old way with your new smart attributes. You see, you can't just dehectify by getting rid of some things. You have to replace them with that which is smart. So let's take a look at this. You have put now on, not put off the old man, and now you put on the new person, which is renewed. Now look at this now. Renewed in the knowledge. Now you've developed a new think. What is this? This is why I call it, you got new smart attributes going on right now. And now you've not only put off the stuff that hectifies, but now you're putting on stuff that is a new information base. And now your mind is renewed in knowledge. I mean, you've got new smarts, okay? And these new smarts are after the image of him that created you. And so here's what the scripture says next. Here are the things that we put on. We know what we kill. We know what we put off. Now we're learning what to put on. So here we go. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So here are they. What are we to put on? Number 1, bowels of mercy. Now, in ancient days, the word bowels meant in your guts, your heart. Start being merciful. That's what we put on now. Bowels of mercy. Well, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to treat people with mercy instead of retaliation? Because Jesus made it plain, didn't he? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Whoa. Isn't that an interesting thing about God? He doesn't give you what you're not willing to give somebody else. If you give forgiveness, you get forgiveness. If you don't give forgiveness, you don't get forgiveness. You get mercy, you get mercy. Seems right to me, doesn't it? Doesn't it to you? So put on bowels of mercy. Kindness is the next one on the list. Whoa. Gonna have to give kudos once again to Brett Hume, who said this. Everybody is fighting battles you don't know anything about, so be kind. Kind. Can you see how this dehectifying process is working out? You kill some things, you put off other things, and you replace the old with new smart attitudes and attributes. Like being merciful and like being kind. And how about humbleness of mind instead of narcissistic, egocentric, driven, it's all about me.
You ought to look up in the scriptures a list of the benefits of meekness. Because that's what listed next. It's the opposite to anger. And of the scripture says that the meek shall inherit the earth. Ah, isn't that? This is, I'm telling you, dear friends, you only need the Bible to guide your life, nothing else. All the truth you need to be totally efficient in every area of your life is all found in Scripture. And so it tells us to put on meekness. Put it on. Be chill out. Calm down. Sit back. Don't let your ego drive you, because it will drive you the wrong way, right? And then it lists be long-suffering. I don't know about you, but the moment I hear that verse, that word, I think of what the scripture says about love suffers long and is kind. Back to the ones that cause the suffering. It's delightful. Wow. We're going to learn the logic of love. One of these days we'll get some time on it. Now, this scripture, as we've just seen, listed bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. But it doesn't end there. It goes on to say in the scripture, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ, so ye do also. Now, watch this. Because in addition to the list, we're going to add another one here, and it's, well, let's finish the scripture. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And so here's what we're to put on. We're supposed to be able to put on, we replace our attitude towards other by being forbearing. I can't think of a nice way of saying put up with, tolerate maybe is a good idea. Forbearing one another. Relax, let them, give them room, forbear. And then forgiving one another. Ooh. Forgiving one another. And watch this now. Because this scripture says, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, now this is what you do. Even as Christ forgave you, that's what we do to them. We forgive them even as Christ forgave us. If you can't come up with a good reason for forgiving people, but let me tell you something. When you understand the logic of love, which we will get to, you'll understand the logic of forgiveness. But if there was no other reason, and we haven't time to give you the details right now, but here is a good one. We forgive others because we have been forgiven by Christ. Good argument. And then lastly, the scripture says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So these are the things that we have learned to kill, put off, put on, and replace. And yet there's two more. Let's look at them. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye are called in one grouping of people, and be ye thankful. Watch this now. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Have peace that dominates every decision. Let the peace rule. Replace your old. So you don't get uptight anymore. You won't be hectified anymore. Because when you dehectify, now you have peace, because all the hectifying factors are gone. Because you killed some, you put off some, you put on some new things, and you replace the old with some new. And now you live with this new condition of peace. I tell you, that's dehectifying. And then it says, and be thankful. Gratefulness, a really big deal. It's not just something we should do once a year. And so we've got to J, but we're not done yet. I want you to catch what the scripture says.
after this. Look at this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so we are to let the word of God be functional. It's let it dwell, and you will find it's richly. I mean, and it's full of wisdom. Because we're talking about replacing the old think, with the new smart attributes. And here is another one. The functional words of Jesus every day of our life, they are our delight. And then it talks about singing. It will help detectify. Let me tell you something. But you still want to be careful what you sing. Because there's a lot of that, you know, drowning in your beer kind of stuff, right? So we learn the functional words of Jesus, and we learn to sing. And then the scripture goes on to say, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and his Father by him. So what does this mean simply? If Jesus wouldn't do it, don't you do it. Everything you do, do it in the name of Jesus. If he doesn't give you the endorsement, don't do it. And then, of course, lastly here, giving thanks to God and the Father by him is about being grateful that we get to actually represent him.
Don't miss the rest of Dehectifying, because it's the key to having a stress-free life and achieving your life goals.
When you look in the mirror, what do you see? David L. Johnston's book, How You See Yourself, changes lives with a new perspective to live as God intended. Life can seem like looking in a distorted carnival mirror because we do not see ourselves accurately. We are hindered by iniquity. How You See Yourself by David L. Johnston gives you God's perspective for a sound mind and freedom from fear and regrets. Take action. Order today. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/C. That's nothingbutthetruth.org/SEE.